you may wonder what the stealth deceiver may be. Let me tell you a little bit about what a stealth airplane is. Anybody ever seen a picture of one? They're an airplane that is really ugly. They don't even look like an airplane. They are a stealth fighter. It's kind of spread out there. There's a little picture of it on there also. But what happens is this airplane has the ability to fly under the radar. It has the ability to fly at high speeds. Now, I will tell you this, and I've never flown one of them, but I can tell you this, that they're pretty sloppy until they get to a cruising altitude, until they cross the speed of sound. They're pretty sloppy. But then they seal up real good, and then they start to fly, and they do real good. And there was a critic of a person, and several of them had got together and said, this airplane will never make it. The guy said, and this guy was working on airplanes too, he made a comment. He said, let me tell you something. He said, this thing will never be able to go under the radar. So a couple of the hot dog pilots, like most of them are, fly a stealth fighter overnight through Andrews Air Force Base and buzzed the tower. They didn't even know that it was coming. They didn't even know that it was there. And the guy had to eat his words for what he said. The stealth deceiver is not the devil. The stealth deceiver is us. The stealth deceiver is us. Let me give you the question of the day. How loud does your flesh scream until you cannot hear the voice of God over it? Think about that. Think about that one saying. If you don't get anything out of the sermon today, think of this. How long does your flesh scream that you cannot hear the voice of God over it? I'm talking about your flesh screaming to have its way. I'm talking about your flesh screaming to have its sexual desires met. I'm talking about the screaming of the flesh that says that I'm going to be offended, or I'm going to be hurt, or I'm going to be this, or I'm going to be that, and I'm going to be this, I. You can always tell where somebody is spiritually by the way they talk to you. And if you hear the word I many times out of them, then that should tell you a lot. Self-centeredness. I. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, as I preached to you this morning, he says this. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, but we do not war after the flesh. This means that we don't wage war according to the flesh. The Bible tells you and me that we as individuals are not in conflict with each other. If you're husband and wife and you have an argument, that's not you two arguing. That's the principalities and the powers and rulers of darkness that tries to destroy the marriage. Are you with me? If friends get in an argument, or a mother and a daughter, or a son and a dad get in an argument with each other, it's not the flesh that's the problem. He makes me mad. She makes me mad. It's impossible for us to war after the flesh, because he says that we do not war after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is a walking, talking, spiritual realm of things that I don't believe that we have the knowledge that we need to be able to counteract what the enemy tries to do to us. Think of this week. How many of you, and you don't have to show by hands, but how many of you got spitting angry? You got angry about something. And I'm not talking about righteous anger. I'm talking about flesh anger, where the flesh got its way and it rose up in you. And see, that's what it's talking about here in the scripture. For we do not walk in the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Church, there is a stronghold battle that takes place within this world today, that takes place in your workplace, that takes place in your church, that takes place in your marriage, that takes place in your town. See, I believe in this town, and correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a huge sexual problem in this town. You say, well, there's a problem everywhere. I'm not talking about everywhere. I'm talking about Braxton County. I'm talking about this town. I'm talking about town. People doing things that they're not supposed to be doing. And yet they label themselves as Christians. Now, my mentor used to tell me, he says, you preach close living. And I do preach close living, because let me tell you something, I believe you can do it. Because the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He says, for the weapons of our warfare, as I said in verse 4, are but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what he is telling you and me there, that we are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, that means that we are stronger than the strongholds that attack you. One thing that I have seen in this state of West Virginia is poverty. God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. Well, I don't know how. Well, first of all, the Bible says give and it shall be taken. No, it says give and it shall be given. Who's given? God frees up the money for you. God helps you. We are the silent killer of ourselves, like a stealth bomber. It's a silent killer that can fly into an area and bomb you before you ever know what happens. We are the stealth bomber of ourselves to destroy ourselves because of our wicked ways. This means what he's saying, because of through God, we have the ability to destroy the stronghold through his divine power. But he won't put his power through faulty wiring. You have to live a certain way. You have to die a certain way. You have to give up your self-life. Well, I don't want to give up my self-life. Well, let me tell you something. I told you all this last week, and I told the praise team, and we talked about this, that there are things that that I had to give up for you. I had to give things up for you because it's things that I really enjoyed doing, but I had to give them up for you because I felt like that the Lord put his finger. You say, well, what do you mean he put his finger? Let me explain to you. Okay, let's say, for an example, that you're newly saved and you cussed real bad when you were a sinner, but then you got saved, and you still cussed real bad. I'm talking about the sanctification process. The sanctification process of elimination of things that are in your life. Let me tell you something. What the Lord will do, I was talking to a fellow yesterday, and he gave me a cigar. He gave me a cigar, and I said, what's this for? Like, tell me if that's not the wrong way to, I said, thank you. And I said, what do you want me to do with this? He said, well, you smoke it. Well, yeah. So what do I do with it? And I took it in my hand, and I put it in my office at the house. I thanked him. But the Lord told me I couldn't do that. He told me I couldn't do that. That's what sanctification is, church. Is eliminating those carnal things that are in your life that keep you from walking with Jesus where you need to be. You say, well, what in the world is smoking a cigar going to hurt you? Is it going to hurt you? Well, here's the thing. If Jesus lets you smoke cigars, you go at it. But I'm talking about me. Tim, I can only answer for me. I can't watch rated R movies. Now, we did see The Passion of Christ. It was rated R, but, you know, there was a couple there that had a Christian innuendo, basically, and we watched it. But I can't watch rated R movies with people hopping up in bed with each other. And here's what Christy and I, and we laugh about this, several of us, that if you have to run a disclaimer on a movie, then you probably shouldn't watch it. Well, you know, there's this real good movie. I want to tell you, it's not that bad, but right there you lost it. But see, the church is full. The church is worldly, and it's worldly. And so we have to be like Jesus. We have to be obedient to what Jesus is saying to us and not trying to destroy ourselves. Is this helping any of us today by saying amen? But he tells us that we have the power. We have the dunamis power. You have the dunamis power. Dunamis power in the Bible means dynamite. You have the dynamite power from on high, from heaven. It never refers to our strength and abilities, but rather God's strength and God's power. It is his power alone that keeps us while forming our character. See, God wants to form your character. God wants to form your character and to sanctify your character. See, I haven't arrived in some areas of my life like I need to. I still can, and it's very rare. It's very rare that I ever blow my top, but occasionally I will blow my top on occasions, and God works with me about those things. Because let me tell you something, it's been a long time, but here's what people need to understand, is they need to understand that, yes, we have that ability to blow our cool, but God can be a step ahead of our tongue. Now, you can ask my daughter, who loves me dearly, and I love her dearly. But can I argue with you and us not be mad? Yeah? Have we? Lindsay and I can have a knockdown, drag-out argument, and it's been a long, long time since we've had an argument. We have disagreements from time to time, and she just looks at me and says, Dad, you're crazy. You just crazy. But Lindsay and I are the type that we can share our thoughts and then go have dinner. But what many people do, and you may think about this right now in your life, think about this, you know, it may be a mom or a dad or a sister or a brother that you haven't spoke to in years because of something that happened. Well, I'm not calling them. I asked a person about that the other day. I said, how is such and such doing? Well, I haven't talked to him for years. I said, well, that's family. I said, how come you haven't talked? Well, they're mad at me. Well, have you thought about calling them just to see if they're over it? Let me tell you something. You can't change people. Only God can change people. Only God can change people. But I will tell you this. If God puts somebody in my life, I'll take a swing at it. I'll try to help you. I'm not always going to agree with you about things, but I'll help you. This means dunamis power means dynamite power from heaven. This means that you can take hell by force. Hell doesn't take you by force, but you take hell by force. What do you mean? When you go to bed every night, your sword is bloody. And I want you to understand something. That we do not fight the devil. People say, we fight the devil. James Wright, Dr. James Wright, told us one time in the congregation, he said, we don't fight the devil himself because the devil can only be at one place at one time. And let me tell you something. I don't think we're that important that the devil is going to go. All the devil's been on my back all day. No, he hasn't. What's been on your back all day is sometimes you. Preach. But understand, this is meat and taters right here. Understand that Satan, Jesus said this. He said, I saw Satan, and I picture Jesus just reaching over and grabbing an apple off a tree. And just starting eating that apple and say, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That's what you've got to learn, and that I have to learn, is that Satan took a third of the angels with him. Who are those now? They're not angels anymore, baby. Those are the demons. Those are the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness of this world. And that's what you and I are fighting. We're not fighting each other. We need to fight the principalities and the powers and rulers of darkness. Here's the thing. I don't think sometimes we realize that we're fighting each other when we're really not, but we're fighting an offspring of hell. You know, back to this sexual addiction that I believe is in this town and in this county. One of the things that I've counseled many, many people over is the spirit of lust. See, spirit of lust. Spirit of lust. Okay? Spirit of lust. God did not give us the spirit of fear. Fear is one of those third of the angels that fell out of hell, out of heaven. Lust is one of those demons that fell out. Disharmony is not from God. Disunity is not from God. Who is that from? The principalities and the powers and rulers of darkness. But here's what we do. Here's how the Bible tells us to not be ignorant. And that means uninformed. Well, I'm going to inform you today that the principalities and the powers of rulers of darkness of this world will cause friendships to be broken, will cause marriages to fall apart. And sometimes I don't understand why it happens, but I have lost dear friends in ministry over the past 31 years because we did not recognize that it was not us, but it was the principalities and the powers of rulers of darkness. That is why people leave churches today. They leave offended. Well, I'm offended. And here's what they tell you. They tell you that I'll just take my money and go somewhere else. Let me put a walk with that. Am I too far back? Am I good? I'll just take my money. I'll just take my money. Put a strut to it. and I just go somewhere else. Can I give you some advice? Don't ever do that. Number one, it's not your money. And number two, if you leave here hurt, or if you leave Gasaway Baptist hurt, or if you leave the First Bethel Bethel Baptistical Seventh-day Orthodoxal Church hurt, guess what? You take that hurt with you. You do. I've seen it. I never forget. And here's the problem that I feel that is with the pastors in this area and in other areas. Is they sneaky. They're sneaky. Let me tell you why they're sneaky. They're trying to grow their church by picking corn in somebody else's field. And what happens is this. Understand that church growth is not measured by people that move from one aquarium to another, fish that move aquarium to aquarium, but souls. That's how the kingdom of God grows, is souls. But here's what happens. I had a dear pastor friend of mine in this town. Love him dearly. Still love him dearly. He made somebody mad in his church. He did. That person calls me. Let me tell you something. That person that got mad was talented. Ooh. I'm talking about talented. Person calls me on the phone, Pastor John, this is such and such. I'm mad at my preacher. He said this, and I'm leaving. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, wait there. I said, have you talked to him about it? Well, no. I said, well, you need to talk to him about it. Well, why? I just want to come to your church. I says, you're not called to me. You're called to him. And this person, we could use this person. I mean, this person was talented. So I called the pastor. We talked a few minutes, and I said, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but such and such is upset with you. And you probably should call them and try to get it worked out. Here's what I told the person before I got off the phone. I said, now I'm going to call your pastor. And if you feel that the three of us can get together, I would be glad to get together and try to work it out so that you could stay with him. So I called the pastor and we talked small talk and I discussed what had happened. And, well, yeah, I'm aware that this is going on. And I said, well, they're wanting to come to the Pulse, and I don't want them to come to the Pulse because they're called to you. See, church, I don't know if you understand this or not, but you're not called to a church, but you're called to God. And they got things worked out. I was glad. Could we have used that person? Oh, you don't know. When that person called me, I put the phone on mute, and it's like almost you play that song, I feel good. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do. But no. As you think through it, no, it's wrong. It's wrong. Understand that this sermon was not written this week or last week, and I didn't buy it on sermon.com for $12. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself to the knowledge of God, and being unto captivity every thought to the obedient of Christ. Wow. Casting down the imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself before God. That's why we are the stealth deceiver, because many times we exalt our own self above God, me included. And that's sin. We diminish arguments and every petition that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. This is another version. And we take captivity over every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Wow. Okay, here's what he says. Okay, cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself to the knowledge of God. Let's talk about some of those things. Some of those things, gentlemen, well, in this day and time, ladies, can be another woman with a short skirt and a low-cut blouse. That could do casting down imaginations from every high thing and exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, so we have to cast that down because we know that guys are driven by sight. And I encourage you, and I always run a disclaimer in the summertime, ladies, gentlemen, do not wear clothes that will cause people to sin. I've always said that if a person has to stand up and go and readjust your laundry, it may be too tight. Gentlemen, be careful how you dress. Men, women, be careful how you dress. Because we don't want the imagination to run ragged on where we're going to take that woman or that man. I'm preaching truth to you. You're quiet. Don't shout me down. Casting that imagination down. Now, here's the thing. Here's what the Bible tells us to do. And to bring unto your imagination, your thought life, to captivity, to the obedience of God, to the obedience of Christ. What he is telling you and me there is that we have power over our thought life. You don't have to take him to bed. You can just acknowledge that that person is a beautiful person and you move on. But let me take it another step further. She looked at me wrong. Huh. I've been here longer. She ain't taking my spot. Mm-mm. She got to go. Or who does he think he is? Come in here, all up in here. I'm glad we don't have a parking lot. Because people can't get offended because you park in their place. Well, that road out there belongs to the county, to the state. Doesn't belong to the city. Doesn't belong to the Pulse. And here in a few weeks, we're going to be pewless. Ain't none of us going to stink. We got up here this morning. I love the praise team. Megan and Sandy, we're over here talking about deodorant. I walked into it. I've got earbuds. If you If you want my attention right before this church service starts, it's going to be hard to get my attention because I'm so wired down, it's hard to move. I got earbuds in. I'm listening to what, I can listen to Andy talk to me up there. Andy, he can text me here, tell me I'm going too long. I mean, I've got all this. And so they're talking about over here, they're talking about deodorant. And I said, well, the last time I took a bath on Tuesday, I put deodorant on. Let me tell you something. Sandy Stout came to us. She said she needed us, but we needed her more than she needed us. And girl, you sang great today, and it's good to see you. She works with our kids club program when it's in operation, but since it's not in operation, we're going to use her in singing. And you know, and there's something about Lindsay too. Lindsay, she's anointed like the rest of the praise team, like Megan and everybody else that sings and plays and all that. But let me tell you something. Lindsay tells me, she says, Dad, she said, I only have to sing when Jesus is in it. She said, just don't bring me up there just to sing, just to sing. Bring me up here when you want me to sing. Be spirit led. My 21-year-old daughter tells me, Dad, be spirit led. But you see, let me tell you something. I've been playing music since I was five. I really don't know that much, but I will tell you. I've been playing music since I was five. I did my first recital. Were you in that recital at Taft? What'd you sing? You know what I sang? First song I sang, they had to put me on one of those plastic milk cartons, milk crates. And I sang up on it, and I grabbed a hold of it, and I sang. And you know what I sang? Sneaky Snake by Tom T. Hall. Sneaky snake goes dancing, withering and a slithering. And then I came back. Gosh. I came back the next year at age six for an encore presentation of I Like Beer by Tom T. Hall. I sang it. I sang it. And, of course, that was before Christ. But I sang that song. Thank God that's not on YouTube. Back to the cigar thing. Let me explain to you. Let me finish this thing about the cigar. Let me explain to you about that. I didn't get to finish about that. I can't do that because the Holy Spirit grieved my heart on to do that. But you obey God, okay? If God lets you chew, if God lets you smoke, if God lets you cuss, that's between you and Him, okay? That's between you and Him. But I'm not allowed to do it. So I have to be obedient to God. Not every one of us are in the same spot spiritually. Some of us are in different places spiritually, you know. Some people can watch a rated R movie to this day. Some of y'all probably watched one last night, and it does not bother you, okay? It bothers me because the Lord won't let me do it. And I want to preach to you today about being obedient. Now, I'm almost done here. And having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Notice that he says to us that we need to take our thought life captivity so that it does not take us captivity. Are you with me? Because we do not war after the flesh. But you and I have the ability to not let people make you mad. Are you with me? We have that strength within inside of us that when somebody pulls out in front of you, you don't flip them off. Let me tell you something. You know why we do that? Because it's called carnality and it's called walking in the flesh. Or what we do is if somebody says something to us in the grocery store, well, you know, we're going to one-up them and smart them off. Well, the Holy Spirit We'll be one step ahead. I said this last week. We'll be one step ahead of your sin. Well, I'll get them. Don't sass me because I'll sass you back for self-gratification. That's the problem with the church. The church is looking for self-gratification. We're looking for self-gratification. We're looking for I. That's why we have an iPad. That's why we have an iPhone. That's why we have this. That's why we have that. We are self-absorbed with ourselves and our feelings. And it's time to crucify the flesh and put it to bed and kill it. And we need to be ready to punish anything that is in disobedience with you and me. Whenever your obedience is complete, here's what he says in verse 6, and I'll close. And having in the readiness to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled. Here's another side of it. And we also ready to punish every act of disobedience whenever your obedience is complete or fulfilled. Here's what that tells us. This means you can walk in total obedience of Christ. The question is do you want to go up on the mountain and pray? Do you want to turn off the TV or put up the golf clubs? Park the airplane, park the sports car? And spend more time with Jesus. Because the more time that you spend with Jesus, the closer your obedience will become. I believe that you can get victory in your sin life and hold it captive. If he tells us that we can hold every thought to captivity, did he give us a plan that we couldn't live? No, we can do it. You know why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've still got another page and a half of this thing, but I'm not going to preach it because you can only endure what your mind and your seat can stand. So stand to your feet if you would. And I just want to open up the altar today. You feel comfortable to come and pray with your mask, without your mask. I encourage you to just come and pray. Ask Jesus to have his way in your life. Have your way, Lord, in us. And let me tell you something. When you blow it, if you blow it to someone, and I'm talking about you blow it to somebody and you just ruin your Christianity or whatever, tell them you're sorry, number one. But number two, ask the Lord to help you not to do it again and to forgive you. Say, Lord, forgive me for that. Go to that person and say, forgive me for that. But not only that, take it to a different step and say, Father, I ask you to help me never to do that again. So where are you with this thing of putting your thoughts into captivity? John, what is that? What was it you said that person made me mad. What does that mean?
When someone says, we call human people in the world have to live with themselves. Even they have a conscience about that to be justified and saying things like, I'm not going this way, you made me mad. Now they just brought up what was in you. That's all they did.
Wow. Did you hear that? They just brought up what's inside of you. What needs to go? If there's anything in your life that needs to go, don't give it back to God because he didn't give it to you. The Bible says to cast it in the sea. He didn't say he was going to cast it in the sea. For you to cast it in the sea. What's your thought life like? Does your thought life have revenge? Does your thought life have anger, hurt, malice, wrath? Where do you have joy and peace and power in the Holy Ghost? Where are you today? Andy, play something, and let's just give you an opportunity to come and pray if you want to. Ask God to help you. I believe I preached the word to you today, amen? Where are you, Jesus? Help these people today. Help me today. Where are you with Jesus? Got things in your life you need to get rid of? Get rid of them. You have the ability and the power to get rid of them. It's your choice. He'll never hurt me again. She'll never hurt me again. I'll never let that happen again. Don't say that. That's horrible. Oh, I give you my heart, Jesus. Others want to come and pray. I encourage you to do so. Come and pray and just ask Jesus to help you. Get this stuff out of your heart. You may have unforgiveness towards somebody. Bring it to the altar and cast it to back to hell where it belongs. The goal that God has given me for the church is to get it living right before we get out of here. Where are you with him? Surrender. I'll give it to him.
I want to know you more. I want to know you more.
Can you sing it to him?
Son-in-law, my son, my wife.
Lord, have your way.
and God wonderful? Thank you, Jesus, for helping me preach the word today. Thank you, God, for helping me. Look what Nellie made me. She made me a WVU. I don't know if we'll ever get to watch a football game again. But I don't know, but I got a WVU mask. Dad's got one, too. And the thing about it is we're asking you to put these on. The governor is asking us to put these on as we leave. Now, let me explain to you the Exodus. The what? Sure. The who? You know, I heard about that. I tell you who told me. Does she have seven children?
Yes.
Okay. Billy White called me a little bit ago. Everybody knows Billy White in town. And Billy called me on the way to church this morning, concerned for these people. So let me ask you something. Just put a, Bryce, if you don't mind, wherever one of those buckets is, if we can put a bucket up just up front here. And if you have money to put in that bucket, Billy asked us, and I know Billy's sincere, to help this family out if we can. If you have some extra money that you want to put in there, and then we'll make sure that it gets to them so that we can be able to help. They lost everything. Lost everything. And their kids are sprung out all over the place because of that. But we just want to bless this family. I don't even know any of them, but Jacob does. And Father, we pray for this family, Jesus, where they've lost everything. You know about it. You got them out of the house, Father. Nobody had to perish. And Father, we thank you for doing that. Lord, I pray the Pulse Church can be a blessing to this family in the name of Jesus that would draw them closer to you. Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we give you honor. Lord, protect us this week from any harm, any sickness, any devils, any demons. Father, I thank you for setting the captive free in Braxton County. Lord, I pray you bless the talk show that people can be blessed. I pray you bless this message as it goes out to Facebook and YouTube and as we share it, Lord, and even on our podcast later on in the week, Jesus. We love you, we praise you, we glorify you, Father, for what you're doing, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jacob. As we leave.